Give me a minute. You caught me in the middle of something. Playing a little game here. You ever played the game Candyland? Any Candyland fans out there? Doesn't matter. I'm just going to keep on going. The interesting thing about Candyland is you have this little guy here, and you're going along the map. You're trying to get home sweet home, and you just draw cards like yellow, red, purple, green, you name it. The objective is to get past Gumdrop Mountain. You got to go up by the crooked old peanut brittle house, make it through the woods, and then eventually, if you're lucky, and I use that word intentionally, you make it to home sweet. Here's the thing about Candyland, is at any point in time, you can draw a card and go all the way back to the beginning, all the way back. You know what I love about the game Candyland is it requires zero skill whatsoever to play the game. I don't like games that require me to think. I can't play card games because I don't move that fast. But if you put a game in front of me that is all about chance, I stand a chance to win. I stand a chance to win. But those are the only kind of games that I stand a chance to win. Now, I want to point out something really interesting about this game. And that's this, that I think, for the most part, many of us, if we're not careful, we might think that that's how life works. We might think that this thing called life that God has given us to live is just somehow the outcome of a random set of circumstances that may or may not affect our life in a positive or negative way. Like, you ever thought about that? Like, just for a moment, like, do the decisions and choices I make truly affect the outcome of my life? If you think life works like Candyland, then you're like, well, no, I'm just a victim of circumstance. But here's what's interesting about Proverbs today is that Solomon is going to tell us that the choices that we make greatly impact the outcome of our life. And it all revolves around whether you will or won't accept Lady Wisdom's invitation to find life in God. That is the difference between what Solomon calls a blessed life or a calamitous life. So here's a truth that we're going to unpack together as a church this morning. It'll be on the screens, is this, is wisdom, Lady Wisdom invites us all to find life in her, but we must be careful because if we reject her invitation, she in return will reject us. She will reject us. Now, as we unpack this passage together, I want to talk about her invitation. Because her invitation, I think you just need to know that the invitation that she offers us is for every person. So if you're here today, you do not have to wonder, is God offering me a fulfilling life in Christ? The answer is yes. The determining factor of whether or not we grab hold of that life and experience it is all determined by your response to her invitation. So look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. This is what Solomon says about this beautiful lady called Wisdom. Wisdom calls out in the street. She makes her voice loud so everyone can hear. She cries out above the commotion. She speaks at the entrance of the city gates. Here's what Solomon is trying to tell us. Is first of all, Lady Wisdom invites every single person to find life in God. And the way that we know this is what Solomon describes about her invitation. One, he says she calls out, which means it's not a secret. It's not silent. It is loud. Wisdom is crying out, Solomon says, in the streets. What I love about that, too, is that word streets is such, here's what's so interesting to me about it, It is Solomon's way of saying God invites the least, the unintelligent, the common people. Who are in the streets? Common, everyday, ordinary people. But here's what else is interesting, is what Solomon says, is that wisdom even goes to the entrance of the city gates. And there she cries out too. Now, you know what's interesting about the city gates? Is the city gates were in ancient Hebrew culture the place of ideas. That's where judges met. That's where philosophers met. That's where theologians and spiritual leaders met. In other words, it would be comparable today to maybe a university. University of Pittsburgh or Carnegie Mellon. Wisdom is crying out in the place of influence, which, real quick, here's where we have to be careful, is that we aren't deceived by intellect, success, worldly wisdom, all of these things that we so easily get impressed by, right? Like a really intelligent man or woman communicating some moving truth. Listen, if the wisdom isn't rooted in God, it's not wisdom. The fact that wisdom goes to the city gates means that you can have all the intelligence, you can have all the success, you can have all the wisdom that you think you need to navigate this life, but if it's not rooted in God, it's not wisdom. Here's what else she does. She cries out above the commotion. You know what struck me this week as I was reading this proverb and just meditating on it? Is the fact that Solomon, because you guys got to remember, proverbs are everyday ordinary reflections of life. Solomon is drawing out implications about everyday life. And here's one thing that he notices about people, is wisdom is in the street crying out to anyone and all who would accept her invitation to find life in God. But what is the problem? Everyone is busy living their life. That's the problem. Wisdom cries out above the commotion, which means the thing that will prevent you and I from finding wisdom in God is our very own pursuit of our own life, our own busyness. I saw this like played out recently when I've told you guys this before, but my family and I decided to go to New York City for Thanksgiving. We wanted to experience Macy's Thanksgiving parade, but God in his sense of humor decided that day would be 40 degrees and rainy, and getting three kids out of the house, all under 10, to be there at 6 a.m. to get a good seat was just not going to happen. But that doesn't mean the trip was spoiled. Like, we had a blast. We went to Times Square. We went to the 9/11 Memorial. We rode the Staten Island Ferry and saw Lady Liberty. Like, we had a blast. But you know what happened while I was there that was really interesting? When we intentionally went to Times Square one evening at night so that we could see the lights. We didn't want to go before. We didn't want to spoil it. But when we got out there and we were looking at the lights and being in awe of all that in Times Square is, there was a street preacher out there with a megaphone. And he wasn't just any street preacher. This guy legitimately was preaching the gospel. Like, I would have had invited him here to communicate the message that he was communicating in Times Square. I mean, it was repent of your sins before a loving God so you may find grace and mercy in him before it's too late. I mean, as loud, as gentle, as truthful, he wasn't those crazy guys that tell you you're going to hell because you teach your kids about Santa on Christmas that stand outside of Heinz Field at the Christmas Day game when the Chiefs played the Steelers. True story, happened. Not those crazy street preachers. This guy legitimately was proclaiming the beautiful truth of who Christ is. And you know what was interesting? As I stood there captivated by his compelling message, I looked around and everybody was just doing their own thing. Literally, life was being proclaimed on the busiest street in America, and people were sipping lattes, watching people do backflips and breakdancing, and listening to comedians and shopping. Nobody was listening. Nobody was listening. And so what it reminds me of, church, is this, is we may be here today, because I know most of us here, but not all of us here, and we may be here today, and we may be thinking to ourselves, all right, Will, if wisdom is so loud, if she's so intent on me finding life, then why have I never heard her call? I get what you're saying, but here's what I say in return is you have. You just hadn't recognized it. In just some very practical ways, like let's just think about the fact that God created us with a conscious awareness of what is good and evil, of what is right and wrong. Think about the various times that you were thinking about doing something and decided not to do it because of the outcome, or decided to do it and ignore the outcome, and in the end, it ended badly. And you think back and you go, man, I knew I should have done that differently. Whether you realize it or not, that is God's imprinting on your consciousness to do right and avoid evil. That's wisdom. But you know what else is a good teacher as well? Is pain. Oh man, pain is a good teacher. We do things all the time that we look back on and think to ourselves, oh, if I could just go back and do that differently. Why do some things hurt worse than others? That's wisdom's way of trying to get our attention and say, hey, maybe you ought to think about the direction your life is going. And then the other is this. This is where, like, hopefully if you're here today, this would wake me up the most. How often we have heard the word of God and are hearing the word of God, even now, whether you realize it or not, you are hearing wisdom's invitation to find life in God. The question is, will you respond? Every single moment you've sat in church or listened to a radio station or heard a person communicate the truth of God, you have heard wisdom's invitation. So the question is, will we or won't we accept that invitation? Now, here's where we have to be really careful, is because wisdom will respond to us differently depending on how we respond to her. I'll just say this. Do not cross wisdom. Do not jilt wisdom. Because you ever heard, I'm convinced, this is, okay, so this is not a part of my notes. Maybe I shouldn't even go there. But you ever heard the phrase, like, how does it go? Like, can anyone bear the scorn of a woman? How does that phrase go? Somebody help me out. How does it? There you go. Hell hath no fury like a woman's scorn. Can I just tell you, as I was reading Proverbs 1, 20 through 33 this morning or this week, I couldn't help but think about Lady Wisdom in that regard, because this is what Solomon says of her. Starting in, where are we at? Verse 22. Listen to this. Solomon says, or Lady Wisdom says, how long, inexperienced ones, will you love ignorance? How long, you mockers, will you enjoy mocking, and you fools hate knowledge? If you respond to my warning, I will pour out my spirit on you and teach you my words. But since you refused, and I extended my hand, and no one paid attention to me, you neglected my counsel and did not accept my correction, in return, I will laugh at you. I will mock you when terror strikes, and when the storm comes, and calamity comes upon your life. When trouble and stress overcome you, then they will call on me, and I will not answer. They will search for me and not find me. I can't help but read that and think to myself that we better, as Christians, be very... Pause. We as humans, created in the image of God, invited to accept wisdom's invitation, better be so very careful how we respond to the next several passages. Because what Solomon tells us, one, is to the inexperienced. I appreciate Solomon here because here's the deal. The inexperienced means individuals that are uncommitted. That is, Solomon knows that there are people in the kingdom or in Jerusalem and Israel that have heard the wisdom of God and have determined to do nothing about it. They're kind of what I would call in limbo, figuring things out, uncommitted people. But here's what we need to understand. In reading my commentary this week, Bruce Waltke and Ivan Silva said this, that we got to be careful as Christians because Solomon is not creating a third category of people. Meaning, you don't have wise people in the world, uncommitted people in the world, and foolish mockers in the world. It's not what Solomon says. You have one of two people in the world, the wise and the fool. The uncommitted experience the same outcome as the fool does. Now, the mocker is different. Listen to what he says about the mocker. He says this. He says, since I called out and you refused my hand and did not pay attention, you neglected my counsel and did not accept my correction, I in turn will laugh when calamity comes upon your life. See, the mocker is a person that has heard the word of God. They have heard wisdom's invitation, and they're no longer in a position of indifference. They're no longer in an uncommitted person. In fact, they're the opposite. They have heard wisdom, refused to accept her invitation, and in return, mocked it. And not only that, what we'll find as we read Proverbs is they will not only mock the wisdom of God, they will mock people who pursue the wisdom of God. And then Solomon says this, real quick. Look at verse 22. How long will you, inexperienced one, love ignorance? And how long will you mockers enjoy mocking, and you fools hate knowledge? Before we move any further, this is what I believe Solomon is trying to communicate to Israel and us today, is that the place of wisdom, where does wisdom preside in a person's life? It presides in their heart. Love and hate is heart language. Love and hate is desire language. What Solomon is saying is that inexperienced and mocker do not love the word of God, nor the things of God, and in return, hate them. And here's what I think is so, is so important, because there's about to be a shift in Proverbs. Here it's going to move from Solomon warning his son to Solomon encouraging his son to examine where his heart is. If you just literally flip your page, in Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon is going to say three things in verse 1, 3, and 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, it's going to be on your screen. Solomon says this, my son, listen closely, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands. Do you hear where Solomon is trying to get the wisdom of God in his son, in his heart? The second thing Solomon tells him in verse 3 is, never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck and write or engrave them in your heart. Why would Solomon, maybe before I ask that question, let's look at the third and final verse. Verse 5, Solomon says this, which is probably the most often quoted and memorized passage in all of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with what? Your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. What is Lady Wisdom trying to help us see? That the seat of wisdom is in the heart. And you might be wondering then, okay, what power do I have over my own heart? Not much. In and of yourself, left to your own devices, your heart and the things you want will ruin you. But here's the beautiful thing about the gospel that is seen even in Proverbs is if we choose to respond to Lady Wisdom, look what she says, then I will pour out my spirit on you. Look, it doesn't take a theologian or a scholar to pick up on what is happening here. Wisdom is saying, if you respond to me, I will what? Pour out my spirit on you. In essence, I will give you my essence to be in you so that you would be wise. Now, real quick, where else do we see this kind of language in the Bible? Well, in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, the prophet Joel makes a promise to the nation of Israel, and he says this. What does he say? God, speaking on behalf of God, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. All right, so wisdom's got a spirit to pour out. God has a spirit to pour out. And what is veiled in the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, after Christ is resurrected and ascended into heaven, what happens? He pours out his Holy Spirit on all people. So what's Will getting at? This is a veiled promise of the new life that is available to people who respond to God's invitation to find life in him. He will transform their mind and their heart, fill them with his wisdom so that they then can live it out. That's the beauty of this. But those who refuse, Lady Wisdom says, man, verse 27, when calamity comes like a whirlwind and trouble and stress overcome you, you will call on me and I will not answer. They will search for me and I will not be found. The exact opposite is true of those who reject wisdom. She doesn't pour out her spirit, she pours out mocking and laughter. And so, I just want you to think for a moment, because like I try to keep this like as practical as I can, because if you guys remember, like a masal, a proverb in Hebrew, literally just means like an example to be followed. So like if Pastor Will stands up here and preaches the Proverbs in a way that you can't follow it, then what help is that? So all week, it's like I labor to try and be as practical as I can to help us understand, because I don't want to undermine what Solomon's doing here. But here's what I want you to think about. Like, if we reject wisdom, there are calamitous and painful circumstances as a result. And the only way that I think that I can help us get that is just simply through a thought experiment. I know you all here imperfect. I get it. You guys have all navigated life flawlessly. And so for most of you, thinking back about this is going to be challenging. But I want you to think of a moment in your life where somebody sat across the table from you and gave you advice. Maybe it was about a marital relationship. Maybe it was a business decision you were making. Maybe it was simply where you're going to go to school, or how should I respond to this person that hurt me? You name it. There's been a point in your life you sat across the table from someone who's been there, and they look at you and they go, here's what I would do. And you hear that, and you decide to do the opposite. And as a result, you now can look back on that moment and think to yourself, man, what I wouldn't do to go back and change that decision. Why? Because it would have saved you from the pain and the heartache that you experienced as a result of ignoring wisdom. And so all that I'm trying to help us understand before we move on is God is trying to help us see before we ever get there that if we reject wisdom's invitation to find life in him, it's only going to result in our own pain. So then finally, the last passage that I want to unpack for us this morning, or the last part of this verse, is 28 through 33. So we've seen like Wisdom invites everyone. So I want to just, once again, everyone here, including myself, is invited to find life in God. The way in which we respond to that invitation changes the way that wisdom responds to us. So then finally, I don't know how we end Proverbs 1, 20 through 33 without then saying, wisdom warns us of the consequences of our response. Proverbs 20 through 33 is a warning as much as it is a blessing to respond to wisdom by accepting her invitation. And the reason is, just one more time, where are we at? 28. Those who reject wisdom will call out, but I will not answer. They will search for me, but will not find me. So here's what I want to do just for a moment is I want to introduce us to a very uncomfortable concept that we see throughout all of the Bible, and that is this, that God's word seems to communicate that there is a limit to the amount of times he will come after us. There's a limit to the amount of times wisdom will receive our rejection before she just tells us to go do our own thing. You're going to feel it. You're going to call out, but guess what? I'm going to be quiet and I'm not going to answer. So as I think about this, this is something. Here's what I want to point out really quick before I lose my train of thought. Where are we at? Verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. So if we're curious about what wisdom is inviting us to do, it's to find life in God. Why? Because Solomon makes it so very clear right here. When you rejected wisdom's invitation, you didn't just reject some impersonal knowledge that's kind of intended to make your life better. You rejected the God of wisdom. And it reminds me, Jesus in Luke chapter 10, I don't know if this will be on the screen, but in Luke chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus himself said these same words. Whoever, speaking to his disciples, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects him who sends me. So as we look at Jesus' words and we look at Lady Wisdom's words, what are we to conclude other than that? If we reject wisdom's invitation, we're rejecting God himself. So, here's what I want to introduce us to as we close this morning. I want to introduce us to this idea that's going to become very clear throughout the book of Proverbs, and that is what, it's not original with me, but scholars and commentators would call the deed-destiny connection of Proverbs. And what that means is this, is that there are very real outcomes and circumstances that result from the decisions that we make in life. And I don't think, like, I think if you just paid attention to living, you know this. There are very real outcomes to the decisions that we make. And that's what Proverbs is trying to help us see. Now, I want to illustrate this in maybe a helpful, not so helpful way. I don't know. I'll let you decide. I want us to think about, let's think about marriage, for example. I was reading just this week that 50% of marriages end in divorce. Okay? I'm gonna be honest, that was a little less than I thought. I thought it'd be more than that. But 50%, and here's the deal. I don't know that anyone genuinely wants their marriage to end in divorce. Nobody wants that. So then how do marriages end up there? To where you eventually sit across the table from someone and say, man, I think it's just best that we don't do life together. After you've built a life and raised a family and sent them out, how does that happen? I think it happens because we begin to choose differently. There are a lot of reasons I think it happens, but one of the things is that a healthy marriage is built on really simple practical truths, like first and foremost, like unconditional love. That's a very simple, practical gospel truth that a marriage is built on. Another one would be faithfulness between a husband and a wife. I think a third would probably be resolving conflict in a loving and considerate way. And then reconciling. That's an important truth. Now, I think we know these things build a healthy marriage. But at any point in time, we can choose to do differently. We can choose to be unfaithful. We can choose to respond to our spouse in anger or undermine their authority. You name it. We can very, really seriously choose to do things differently. And here's the thing. If we choose to do that, the outcome that comes is not the result of random circumstances, but the result of the decisions that we have made. Do you guys see what I'm saying? So Proverbs is telling us, like, hey, there's a way that you can find life, and it applies not just to marriage, but business and spirituality, all these things. And then there's a way that leads to death and destruction and calamity. And it what ultimately determines where you end up is the choice that you make. And here's the thing that I've wrestled with all week is the reason I started with the life or the Candyland game. Is because when I talk to people at times, this is in the church or outside the church, the thing that I most often hear when people are going through really difficult times in their life is, well, that's just life. Life is hard. People are on my back all the time. The list goes on and on and on. Do you know what I just want to pause and say, and I mean this in the most loving and truthful way, is what if life is hard because of the decisions you're making? What if the outcomes you're experiencing is the result of you not living in wisdom? But the converse is true. Think about this for a second. What if the blessings that you are experiencing in your marriage and family are the result of you following wisdom's advice to live a life aligned with God's glory? Like, the same is true. So then, here's how I want to conclude this morning. Wisdom invites us all to find life in God. And we must be careful how we respond to her. Because if we reject her, she in return will reject us. But if we accept her invitation, she will pour out her spirit on us. And we will experience what Solomon calls living securely, living safely. Would you guys pray with me? Father, here's my prayer, Lord. I pray this for myself, and I pray this for the people here gathered today, God, that first and foremost, Lord, I know, I was thinking about this as I was walking this morning, Lord, that there are things in my heart and in my life right now that do not align with wisdom. You are bringing them to mind this morning as I was walking. And Lord, there is a commonality between me and everyone else here, and them and me, and that is that we are by nature broken, resistant, rebellious, flawed, foolish human beings who need to listen and obtain guidance from wisdom. So Lord, would you this week in our life, Father, would you make the voice of wisdom so very loud to us? And God, I pray that when we would hear the voice of wisdom, Lord, we would respond with faith. We would, as Proverbs 3:5 says, turn and trust you with all our hearts. And Father, I pray even for those of us here today, Lord, that maybe their life is a bit in shambles, and maybe that is because of the decisions they're making in life. Father, I pray that they would have heard wisdom's invitation loud and clear to accept life in God. So, Father, as we sing this final song, Lord, we sing it to a God of wisdom. We sing it to a Christ of wisdom. And we ask you, Lord, would you fill us, your church and your people, with the spirit of wisdom that we would go out and be able to reveal your glory in this world that we live in. In Jesus' name.